Okay, so let's unpack this. We're doing a deep dive today into the pretty dramatic evolution of credential theft, and we're focusing on Facebook. If you think spotting a phishing attempt is still about, finding misspelled words or clunky websites, you really need to hear about the new gold standard in deception. It's called the browser-in-browser attack, or BitB for short.
It's such a crucial topic. This is a deep dive you'll want to pay close attention to because cyber criminals have really moved past simple fraud. We're talking about high fidelity impersonation now. They've taken what was a known security testing technique and completely weaponized it. They're turning the most familiar user interface elements against you. So our mission today is to equip you with the knowledge to recognize how sophisticated this is, but, and this is the important part, to help you spot its single inherent fatal technical flaw.
And the stakes are just enormous, aren't they? I mean, we're talking about Facebook's global attack surface. It's over 3 billion active users worldwide.
3 billion.
This isn't just a handful of people being targeted. What we're seeing is industrial-scale credential harvesting. The criminals are aiming for volume, and they're willing to invest in the sophistication to get it.
That volume is exactly why this technique matters so much. When you have a pool of 3 billion potential targets, even a tiny success rate, say 0.1%, yields millions of valuable accounts. The complexity of BitB really reflects the immense value criminals place on that massive and, frankly, very trusting user base.
So let's start at the beginning of the rabbit hole. Let's decode this browser-in-browser technique. I know it was originally developed by a security researcher, Mr. DOX, back in 2022. It was a proof of concept, right? He's basically saying, look how easy this is.
Correct. Yeah, Mr. DOX demonstrated just how simple it was to replicate all the visual cues of a legitimate single sign-on pop-up. And of course, the cyber criminals saw this proof of concept and, well, they weaponized it almost immediately. They started targeting high-value platforms like Facebook and also Steam, where users have linked gaming or financial accounts.
And the whole thing hinges on a piece of tech called an iframe.
It does. The technical implementation is all about the iframe.
So for those of us who don't spend our time reading HTML, what exactly is an iframe?
Think of it simply as a window inside another window. It's a standard HTML element that lets you embed one entire web page within another one. So when you see a Google map embedded on a business's contact page, that's almost always an iframe.
Got it.
The crucial point here, though, is that this embedded page is entirely controlled by the parent page it's sitting on.
So the attacker isn't sending you to a completely new fake website, which would, immediately set off alarms in your browser or your security software. Instead, they get you to their malicious landing page, and then on that page, they display a perfect copy of the Facebook login prompt, all contained within that iframe.
Precisely. They create the absolute illusion of an authentic, separate browser pop-up window. But it's not separate at all. It's just a highly customized frame on the attacker's own web page. They use CSS cascading style sheets to hide the borders, the scroll bars, anything that would give away that it's just an embedded frame.
And this is the critical leap past traditional phishing, isn't it? Old school phishing tried to trick you with a fake URL in the address bar, or maybe the page just looked a little off. But BitB, it displays these ultra-realistic details inside the fake pop-up. Things like realistic window titles, a fake but authentic-looking URL, and the fake pop-up's header. It just looks perfect.
It looks perfect. And here's why that is so incredibly effective. For the average person, these authentication pop-ups are constant. They're just part of using the internet. You see them every single day for Google sign-in, for your bank, for corporate logins. Our brains are literally trained to look at the content within that pop-up, assume it's legit, and just enter our credentials to get on with our task.
It weaponizes that learned behavior.
It absolutely does. It's designed to completely bypass your visual scrutiny because everything looks exactly where it's supposed to be.
That really sets the stage for the next part, which you could call the art of deception. It's not enough to build a perfect fake door. You have to, I guess, scare or pressure the victim into walking through it. So how do they initially lure people in?
The initial lures are pure psychological leverage. They are almost always based on fear or some kind of manufactured urgency. Researchers at Trellix, for instance, they detailed how some of the most effective campaigns involve emails that look like they're coming from a law firm.
Well, a law firm? Why a law firm? That seems specific.
It immediately triggers high-stakes anxiety. The email will claim something like copyright infringement against content you've posted, a photo maybe, and it threatens immediate legal action or account suspension if you don't click a link to file an appeal. The threat of being sued just paralyzes critical thinking. It forces an emotional, urgent response.
And I imagine other lures are more direct, like pretending to be meta security itself.
Oh, absolutely. Things like threatening immediate account suspension, or a very common one, claiming an unauthorized login attempt has been detected in a different country. The goal is always the same: create panic, make sure the victim clicks that link, and stop them from pausing for even a second to verify if it's real.
And once the victim clicks, the criminals start building this false sense of legitimacy through multiple layered steps. It's not just a single fake page anymore.
Exactly. It's a whole chain. First, to get past spam filters and URL scanners, they'll use shortened URLs, the kind we see everywhere from bit.ly or others, to hide the real malicious destination. Once you click, the attack chain can be quite intricate.
Give us an example of how sophisticated that can be.
Sure. They might first take you to a fake Cappy CHA page, you know, the I'm not a robot thing, branded with all the official Meta logos. This isn't just to look real. It adds a small delay. It makes you feel like you're progressing through a legitimate security process. It reinforces the idea that, okay, I passed the security check, I must be on the right track.
And this leads, eventually, to that beautifully crafted Bitby pop-up, which often mimics Meta's privacy center or an official appeal form. And that's where you unknowingly type in your password.
Yes. And what is truly fascinating, and you could argue it's the most cynical part of this whole attack, is where these pages are being hosted. Researchers found a huge number of these Bitby phishing pages hosted on completely legitimate top-tier cloud platforms. We're talking about Netlify and Vercel.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Why would an attacker bother with a respected cloud service? Why not just spin up their own cheap anonymous web server?
It's a strategic move to bypass trust filters. Netlify and Vercel are highly trusted modern platforms. They're used by major corporations and legitimate developers all the time for deploying their applications. So because these platforms have excellent reputation scores, most security filters, antivirus programs, even corporate network defenses, they're far less likely to flag a page hosted on a netlify.app subdomain than on some freshly registered weird-looking domain name.
So if I'm a user who is security aware enough to actually check the URL on the real address bar, I might see netlify.app or vercel.app, and instead of being alarmed, I might think, oh, this must be a legit app or maybe a temporary site for Meta, and I just drop my guard completely.
That's the brilliance of it. It's devious. The attacker is leveraging the institutional trust that we have all built in these major web services, and they're using it against us. They're borrowing the trustworthiness of the infrastructure to hide their malicious intent.
This brings us to the core issue, doesn't it? The stakes. Why are Facebook credentials still such a huge target? I mean, we have dedicated banking apps and corporate VPNs now. Why is a social media login considered gold?
Because access to a Facebook account provides massive value far beyond just the login itself. It's an entire ecosystem of social capital and deep, deep personal data. Once an account is compromised, criminals immediately use it to distribute scams to the victim's entire network of friends.
So they're weaponizing your social capital.
Precisely. Your friends trust your profile, which makes them far more likely to fall for a financial scam or click the next malicious link that's sent from your account. But the value goes so much deeper than just spam.
Let's talk about the data.
The data is the real prize. A Facebook account harvests just extensive personal data about the owner and everyone they know. We're talking high-resolution photos, employment history, family connections, interests, location data, and often critically linked accounts like Instagram and WhatsApp. All of this feeds these huge databases used for highly targeted fraud and, most lucratively, for identity theft.
So Access gives them a complete toolkit for building a convincing synthetic identity. You've got someone's detailed personal history, their relationships, even geographical data that could be used to pass complex security questions.
Think about the questions your bank or utility company asks to verify you. What street did you live on in 2010? Or what city did your spouse grow up in? Facebook provides the raw, verified material for every single one of those answers. It directly fuels advanced identity fraud. The information we all share on Facebook is the raw material for a fraudster to build a highly convincing synthetic version of you. That makes this threat profoundly personal.
That's incredibly unsettling. But for all this sophistication, all this psychological manipulation, there is some good news. We promised you that for all the attacker's cleverness, there's a technical limitation we can exploit.
Yeah.
We've reached the aha moment of this deep dive.
Right. Despite the flawless visual appearance of that fake pop-up, the Bitby attack cannot defeat the fundamental architecture of your computer's operating system. system. Because the fake pop-up is an iframe, it is a child object, it is forever confined by the borders of the parent browser window it lives inside, it simply cannot escape that container.
So we can stop staring at the fake address bar inside the fake window. We can stop worrying about the urgent copyright claim. We're going to give you the one straightforward, practical defense mechanism. This is what you need to remember next time a login pop-up appears, especially one that interrupts what you're doing. It's called the window dragging test.
The premise is beautifully simple, and it works because it relies on physics, not on psychology. If any login box appears on your screen, click the top of that simulated window where the title bar would be, and just try to drag it outside the edges of your main browser application.
So if I'm using Chrome, I try to drag the pop-up past the gray edge of the Chrome window and onto my desktop wallpaper.
Exactly. And the result tells you everything. If it moves independently, if it escapes completely beyond the browser's edges and onto your desktop, it is highly likely to be legitimate. That means it's a genuine secondary window launched by your operating system, separate from the browser.
But wait a minute. If these attackers are so sophisticated, couldn't they just write some code, some JavaScript, to make that iframe drag around the screen and mimic that independence?
A great question. They can make it drag inside the browser frame, absolutely, but they cannot script it to leave the actual application boundary and interact with the operating system's desktop. That action is fundamentally restricted for security reasons. So if that window remains stubbornly confined and just bumps up against the edges of the main browser frame, you are looking at a malicious iframe. That one simple non-destructive test instantly exposes the fraud, no matter how perfect the visual copy is.
That is fantastic practical knowledge. It requires zero specialized software. It's just common sense applied to a technical flaw. What about a second line of defense? We always need layers.
The second line of defense is just as simple, but it does require focus. You must completely ignore everything displayed inside the fake pop-up. Instead, focus only on the URL in your browser's actual physical address bar, the one at the very top of the application, controlled by Chrome or Firefox itself.
Not the address bar the attackers conveniently put inside their fake window.
Precisely. You have to scrutinize the URL in that real address bar. Legitimate Facebook login pages will only ever display facebook.com or sb.com domains with the proper HTTPS padlock icon. If that real URL is anything else, Netlify, Vercel, or some weird jumble of characters, you are on a phishing page, even if the pop-up inside it looks absolutely perfect.
Okay, so let's wrap this up with essential protection and recovery strategies.
Yeah.
Beyond the drag test, what proactive defense behaviors do we need to reinforce right now?
The most important behavioral change is simple. If you get an alarming, urgent, or threatening email from Meta, Facebook, anyone, claiming copyright issues or account suspension, never, ever click the links embedded in the email.
Just navigate directly.
Navigate directly. Open a new, clean tab in your browser, manually type facebook.com, and log in securely that way. If the alert is legitimate, it will be waiting for you in your official notification center. If the alert isn't there, you know for a fact the email was a malicious lure.
And reinforcing that URL scrutiny. Before entering credentials into any login box, just treat every single one with suspicion. Drag it first, then check the real URL.
And if we had to pick one single non-negotiable piece of technical protection against BitBee and really all credential attacks, it has to be two-factor authentication.
2FA is the ultimate insurance policy. It's the moat around the castle.
It's the ultimate account integrity protector. Even if the attackers succeed, even if they get your perfect password through the most flawless BitBee attempt, they fooled you completely. They still cannot access your account without that second verification step. That code is tied to a physical device they don't have, which instantly makes your stolen password nearly worthless to them.
Now, what if someone listening right now realizes, oh no, I think I might have fallen for an attack like this last week. They entered their credentials. What are the immediate actions to take after a compromise?
Speed is absolutely critical. First, change your Facebook password immediately. Do it from a trusted device on a secure network. Second, if you haven't already, turn on 2FA right now.
And then it's damage control.
You must immediately go into your security settings, log out any unrecognized devices that might still have active sessions on your account. Check your activity feed, check your recent messages for any unauthorized posts or scams that might have been sent to your contacts. And finally, this is crucial, update the passwords on any other accounts that use the same credentials as your Facebook account, because you have to assume the criminals are already trying that password everywhere else.
So to summarize this journey we've been on, the evolution of phishing is moving away from purely technical flaws, like poorly coded websites, and it's focusing squarely on weaponizing human psychology and abusing institutional trust. It's making the illegitimate look indistinguishable from the legitimate.
Which places a tremendous but necessary responsibility on us as users. We have to cultivate a deeper security awareness that goes beyond surface-level things like spotting bad grammar. We have to assume that the interface we're being shown is malicious until we can actively prove its legitimacy, specifically through a physical test like that window-dragging test.
And this raises a really important question for you to think about as you navigate the web today. If these sophisticated attacks are now abusing trusted cloud infrastructure like Netlify and Vercel to host their pages and bypass our defenses, what other familiar trusted domain names, maybe utility sites or even government portals, might we see being leveraged by attackers next to convince us to drop our guard? The central challenge going forward isn't spotting the ugly, obvious threat. It's recognizing that the very systems and brand names we rely on for trust can be weaponized in the service of sophisticated fraud.